Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Well, we want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. And so we are really glad to be here. Trent, we're starting our second 10. I'm pumped. So how about you?
Man, this is pretty cool because, you know, when we first started talking about this, we're like, man, can we make this happen? And God just keeps giving us ideas to talk about. And we want to encourage you, if you have something that you think we should discuss, maybe that's pertinent to your situation or you have questions about, please let us know. This is pretty exciting, though. Today's a good topic, too.
You bet. You know, we've been together. We have a lot of years of experience. I think we like to float out that 50 years of experience because it just makes it sound really cool, I think. But you're right. Today is a wonderful, wonderful topic. We want to talk about how it is that we pastor our community and being able to be thought of as the town's pastor.
Yeah. And, you know, Alan, we most of the people we're talking to hopefully are in small towns. And so we get to be a part of the community. We get to meet new people in the community and we want to help you to be thought of as the town's pastor.
And, you know, it even gets bigger. If you're in a city or suburb, there are sub communities within every community. And so don't lose sight of that. Don't think that if you're not in a small town that this doesn't relate to you, because it still does. You're still pastoring a community no matter what size the community that you're in. And so we're going to give you 10 things today, 10 thoughts on ways that we can maybe help you understand your role and how to go about becoming and how to survive as the community's pastor.
Yeah, so let's get this thing started. The number one, we want to remind you that your role is bigger than just your church. I think this is so important for us to keep in mind that, and we have to have that mindset that, yes, we're ministering to our church family, but in those sub-communities or in a small town, you have opportunities that are way beyond just your church family, Alan.
You know, I remember that in my first church, there was an older man who ran this little almost convenience store, but most was emptied out, and he was really old and never been to church probably a day in his life. And I remember he was my first hospital visit I made in that town because he ended up in the hospital, and it was a pretty dire situation. But, you know, everyone in my small community was like, you need to go there. This guy's not been in church and you need to be a touch there. And they were just really, what they were trying to tell me is, you know, our community counts on you in these moments. And that role was far bigger than what was in my church.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that there are people that may not come to our church, but they're in times of need, like you said, at the hospital, crises that come up into our community. It gives us an opportunity that we may not have otherwise.
You bet. So let's talk about that second one. Kind of goes along with it a little bit. You have to be visible in your community. And that have to part is really big.
Yeah. And so as I'm thinking through this, you know, we're trying to think how this affects each one of us. And we're both in a little bit different situations, but how can we be visible? I know that you're involved in your school, but you're helping to coach the track team and the cross country team. Are there any other things that you do to make yourself more visible?
Well, you know, I do try to eat at a lot of our local restaurants. You know, you do all these little things. When I can, I shop in my community. I try to do as much as I can just to make sure that I have some kind of ongoing presence. Yeah. In my community, you know, all the people at Walmart know me. I mean, it's kind of like, oh yeah, here comes another tax exempt purchase for the church. Here.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, Dana and I try to do that in our town as well. And when we first moved to Comanche, she was a school teacher here in Comanche. And so that kind of gave us an automatic in. And I know your wife, Rochelle, has been involved in schools as well. And that's, you know, for us, that's been a help to be visible, and it's kind of takes down some walls, but you know, there's lots of things you can do, right? I work with the chamber and the businesses in the area, but, and we'll talk some more about this, but yeah, just having that mindset that, hey, I want to be seen and to be available to my community.
And that brings up that third one. You have to be available at community events or activities.
Yeah. For the last bunch of years, you know, we have a big event on Main Street, Fall Festival. And then I've been asked several times to help be the announcer, the MC for different things, or to help auction off FFA kids as they're, you know, trying to raise money. And so things like that, you know, just being there to be a help. And
right,
that is a blessing.
And show up at high school basketball games. You can get some, mm-hmm. you can get some great ministry at ball games. There's a lot of opportunities. You just don't want to do like I did in one of my churches and almost get thrown out of a basketball game for yelling at all the wrong things. Now that I'm a coach in a school, I'm actually under mandate that I'm not to, become a rowdy fan. So that's helped me quite a bit, but be available. You want to be seen at community. And it's not that you have to be at every event. I mean, there's right. some that, you know, okay, you just this can't. Just isn't me, or maybe the nature of it isn't such that you feel like you should be at it. But, you know, there are going to be some events that maybe you think, man, I really don't like this, or this isn't who I am. But you go because it's the right thing to do.
Well, and we're both in that kind of empty nest time now. You know, when we both had our kids in school, you know, that was pretty easy because they were involved in lots of activities. And I have to tell you, Alan, that I had to be careful because the people heard me yelling that were in my church and stuff at Zach's ball games and stuff. So I had to be careful of that.
It does make you rethink a little bit.
It does.
Because you really don't want to be that pastor.
Oh my gosh, no, yeah. But now that we're in that empty nest time, we both have to make decisions to be at events. It's not that just automatically assumed. And sometimes, honestly, Dana and I look at each other and like, oh, I don't want to go tonight, you know. But we try to be involved as much as we can.
And that's just important. We can't neglect those kinds of things. So what about funerals, Trent? What do you think? Number four here, doing funerals gives you a great opportunity to serve your community.
Well, and that was a good reminder for me this week. I had two funerals in the last 2 weeks, and both of those were folks in my church, but there's also a lot of folks that were attending the funeral that were from the community. But then there's also times when you're asked to do a funeral. Maybe somebody who doesn't attend church, and you know, you can't speak into the life of the one who passed away, but you certainly can speak to the people that attend that are part of the family. And so it gives you an opportunity to build some relationships in those.
You know, my first funeral to perform was someone who had left our community, but had grown up in that community. And so when they died, the family came back and said, we want to bury them here, and we'd like you mm-hmm. to do the service. You know, I didn't know the person. I didn't know mm-hmm. anything about the person, but who I did know were a handful of the people who were there that day. And what a great opportunity to share truth and to share the gospel, and to do so in a loving manner. And I would encourage you, you know, be evangelistic in funerals, but don't make it grandstanding about the gospel. Do keep the focus on the person who's passed away, their family, mm-hmm. and let the gospel speak into that moment. And that's a great way to show love to your community.
Well, and another thing, I would totally agree with you. And man, I think it's so important to present the gospel, but also keep in mind and don't get worried. Don't look at a funeral or a wedding as an opportunity to get people into your church, because honestly, it's not going to happen. But you do have the opportunity to share, you know, the gospel, to love on people and just tell them about the love of God.
Absolutely, Trent. That is a great, great point. Number five, stay close to your schools and school leaders. We've kind of mentioned that, but now that we're in the empty nester stage and neither of us have spouses who are in the school district, you know, we have to be more mindful of that.
Yeah, you have to make some decisions, right? And you have that because you're working with the school and you've kind of got that connection. Honestly, since Dana no longer works at our local school, it's a little more, I've got to do everything I can to be involved. We have what we call Beautiful Day here, the Beautiful Day Foundation, and we go and do a birthday party every month at the elementary school for all the kids that have had their birthday that month. And so that gives me a chance to go in, and all the kids that, you know, from church, they hug me and it just lets me be there. But the schools, especially in a small town, man, they are the center of life in a small town.
There's no other place you're going to get as much done as you do at the local school with in regards to relationships. So let's talk about number six. We've kind of mentioned these, but this is getting even more specific. But find something in your community to do that helps you build relationships outside the local church. For you, that's been being on the Chamber of Commerce. For me, that's coaching. You know, I coach high school cross country. I coach middle school track. And so I have been involved with something that allows me to build relationships. And former pastors, some of them did announcing at football games and some of the MC type stuff that you're talking about. I know another pastor who's worked with the fire department and the first responders as a chaplain. There's a place of ministry outside your church in your community.
It's so important to keep in mind that those things outside your church building, when you have some time just to be yourself and just visit. I visit with a lot of business leaders. I got to visit with a judge recently, and they would never come to my church, but just being myself and just shooting the breeze, you know, just enjoying talking to them takes down the walls and the defensiveness. And you're able to have some really great conversations just because you were out there serving and being involved in your community.
Yeah, I find that tearing down those walls and being very natural is important. People need to see that you're not always talking church or you're not always trying to get them into your church. They need to see you at another level. And I think that's something that a lot of pastors miss out on if their whole focus is always church and church only. Get outside your church. Let people see you in another environment so they don't think that you're so odd. And speaking right. of odd, that leads us to number seven.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we go there, I want to back up and say something about number six too, is be involved with the other churches in your community. In the small town, you know, people, they'll go to events at other churches. And especially if that other church presents the gospel and follow scripture, then, you know, be a supporter and encourager of them as well. And also, you know, be there for their pastor, get to know those other pastors and be a support and encouragement for them too.
That's a great point. And they need us and our churches need to know that we talk together. And that actually helps cut down some of the moving between churches as some of these people do when they get upset if they know that you have regular contact with another pastor. So it's just a kind of a side benefit to all that. Let's move on to number seven. Let's talk about being odd here.
So, well, we are odd.
That's true. Avoid being shocked when asked odd requests. Trent, have you ever been asked any odd requests as the pastor?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's in our notes you had written down about praying for sick pets, and I've had that, especially when I was doing college ministry. I had all kinds of things and, you know, praying for, you know, all kinds of things. And so you just like, okay, you know, and I've been asked to do weddings at the last minute. Hispanic wedding that I did in Colorado, I was asked at the last minute, and I didn't speak much Spanish and they didn't speak much English, but I was going to be there and serve the best I could.
Yeah, we get into these weird situations. I mean, I get answer my phone one morning and a lady's like, I don't know if my dog's going to make it. Could you offer a prayer, you know? And I'm like, well, I can certainly pray for your dog. And You know, you just can't be shocked when you get odd requests. They come and they're different, and just take them gracefully. Don't get too offended when people show outside the church, especially show spiritual immaturity over certain issues. It's what lost people do. And so take that right in stride and take that with an ounce of grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you need to keep in mind too, that it may not be something that you agree with, but it's important to that person, and it opens a door for the, and they're coming to you because they recognize that you are a person who cares. And that's a big deal.
A real big deal. And it helps the gospel go forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to number 8. And we have to watch our words, just like we were talking about ball games earlier. There are times when it's tempting to be negative about your community. So we want to encourage you to speak well of your community.
Yeah. If you don't speak well of your community and people hear you bad mouthing their community, you're in trouble. People have grown up in that community. Some of your church folks have been in that community their entire lives. And if you go around speaking negatively of it all the time, people are going to pick up on that, and they're going to start asking, why are you here? And you certainly give up the rights to be their pastor in many mm-hmm. ways at that point in time. So it's important to always speak well of your community.
Well, and they'll also, Alan, they'll think that you're not wanting to be there and that you're going to be leaving. So they'll hold back from really plugging into you and trusting you as well. Well, let's move on to number 9 now. Get your church out into your community. This is really important, isn't it, Alan, to get out beyond the church walls?
It certainly is. And that's one of the things we did this past Sunday. We actually had a church day of service, and we took over half of our church, regular church attendance, went out into our community. We had 8 service projects we had gathered together, and we went out, put on Creekside t-shirts and went out into our community and served our community. And one of the comments I got from many of our church members was, when are we going to do this again? It's really neat to put a skin and a face to the ministries we talk about in the church by getting out there and doing something in our community to serve it.
That's a great idea. I'm so glad you guys did that. And one of the things you said, I think, is really important, that you wore shirts that talked to, you know, said who you were, you know, either Christian shirts or about Creekside, or, you know, and so as you do this, and I would encourage you to do this with your church. I'm gonna steal this idea and do some of this at Patterson. But wear those shirts so people know, hey, we're Christians out here serving. And that's awesome. Great job.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I have to thank my youth minister and worship leader Luke, and my children's minister Deanna, for really organizing it. They did the lion's share of work for this, and I'm very appreciative of them. They really take a lot off of me so I can do something like this today. Well, yeah. We've got one more for you, and this one is really important. One that I might not have thought about when I was younger, but I certainly understand it now. And number 10 is avoid acting entitled. You know, when I first became a pastor and I started trying to play golf, there was a golf course that always gave me 50% off of my green fees. And that was a big help for a young pastor. And when I moved to Colorado, I realized something very fast. There was no such thing as pastoral discounts. And if you think those should still exist, I don't know what world you're living in. You are just another person in the community. Do not act like you deserve something that you haven't earned.
Well, you know, and I found that to be true when you go out to dinner with families in your churches. Don't expect them to pick up your tab because they're hardworking people, and they're just getting by just like you are. And if once in a while, if they offer to, then that's wonderful, and say thank you, thank you, thank you. But don't expect that. You pay your own bills, and it'll be good.
And I know that's not always easy. I know ministry is not the most lucrative position in the world, but it is important to kind of carry your own weight with that. But just don't act like you deserve something special mm-hmm. because you answer God's call. Most of that's going to come in heaven someday. So
that's right.
Avoid acting entitled. And the caveat to all of these is to remember this one simple truth. It takes time.
That's true, because you're developing relationships, and relationships take time to build up trust so that you can have conversations and show the love of Jesus. That is very good. So today we've talked about 10 things to help you to become the pastor or be seen as a pastor in your community, to open up doors and start relationships. And we hope these have helped you. If you have questions about any of this, or again, if you have another topic, please go to enduringchurches.com and fill out our form there on the podcast page, and let us know how we can answer your questions or serve you, or maybe do some help for your church as well, Alan.
You bet. And also don't forget to reach out on iTunes now and like us on iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and get the word out that Enduring Churches is here to help your church endure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.